B-Pod Studios.
Drive home with Felger and Mast right now. Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Spend all your time waiting for that second chance, for a break that would make it okay. There's always some reason.
I don't know what the plumbing equivalent is to the ASPCA, but as they say, every gift saves lives.
I'd like to thank Scott Schauer, who sent us a photo of Ed Rooney from Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yeah.
With the quotation, "Between grief and nothing, I'll take grief."
It's obviously a very difficult day here today with the catastrophic failure of Scott Zolak's water heater. May it rest in peace.
Turn up, top!
It's those moments you take for granted, you know?
I know, I know. All the times you washed your hands and you just thought nothing of it.
It's one more shower.
Just, yeah,
shower.
I could have one more shower.
One more. Every day with hot water is a blessing, Artie. That's what they say. You know? You got to turn that left lever on every time like it could be your last.
I can just take the tiniest bit of solace and know that it's in a better place in the woods behind his house next to the paint cans.
You know, the good news is, and the thing that makes it a little easier today, is the full and long life that this water heater lived.
It had a hell of a run. Hell of a run.
More coming out of Bruins breakup day today. Brad Marchand saying a moment ago that it is what it is in regards to the age of the roster, saying we're getting older every year. He's talking about the age of things and said that there was a challenge for younger teammates this year and that they were alone all the time and they were very secluded, home by themselves. They were isolated. I don't know how that has to deal with anything that they had to deal with at the end. But that's what he has said. I'm just to try and keep you up to date on what's being said. Charlie Coyle said earlier that the criticism of Rask is ridiculous. I'm not sure which specific criticism he's speaking to, but he feels like Rask is taking too much criticism as the goalie of the Bruins. And I told you guys in recent days, they as a team have that feeling that Rask has unfairly been targeted by fans and media, and that they rally around him. And I think that is something that the entire team feels. They rally around Tuukka Rask. They're aware of the criticism. They think it's unfair. They think he takes too much heat. And he's their guy. We heard David Pastrnak talk about last week, he's the best goaltender in the world. He'll be ready. One of the best goaltenders in the world. He'll be ready to go. There was nothing that concerned him about it. You're hearing Coyle now. You've heard Bergeron talk about him. You even heard Chara stick up for him last year. I know people have made a big deal out of the handshake. But I think there's something to that. And I'm willing to bet that somehow factored into their decision to keep going with him. That the guys in the room feel like he's unfairly targeted.
Either unfairly targeted or at least they know what they've got. And you know, they may like Swayman, and I hope they do like Swayman because I think Swayman's going to be the guy going forward. But when it comes to that point in an elimination game, you don't want there to be a whole lot of unknown going on out there on the ice. Whether it's a guy playing wing on the third line, and especially not your goaltender, I think they got a pretty good idea of who Swayman is and what he's capable of, and they played enough games with him. But even knowing that, I'm not, put it this way, Beetle. I'm not surprised at all if the guys in the room, by majority or even unanimously, wanted Tuukka Rask in net for that game. That would not surprise me. I don't think it's like me who may have had an irrational confidence in his abilities for that game or in that spot. That's just what they're used to. That's what they know. And let's face it, they've seen him play some outstanding hockey over the years for a decade now. So this is not something that was unknown to them. And I think they had every right to feel confident in him, but I think they felt better about the known quantity that was Tuukka Rask as opposed to, Swayman's good, but he's never started a playoff game before. Now we're going to have to go with that. No, let's go with Tuukka. And maybe there's some loyalty, and maybe there is a bit of, you know, he gets picked on too much around here. But the overwhelming emotion has to be one of just, no, I know what that is. Yes, I have confidence in him. And yes, I think he's a good goaltender. But on top of that, I know what we've got back there. You got to know. You don't want to have like question marks going into an elimination game. That's not good. What is it now?
The poems people are sending.
More
poems.
More Zoe hot water heater poems?
Ready?
Well, we need the music again.
Yeah.
Actually, and T-Bone, people have requested bagpipes.
Oh, that'd be great. Bagpipes would be a good one. That or Kings of Leon, you know?
Kings of Leon.
That's our death song around here.
Yeah, we can just do Kings of Leon. We could do that. Whatever's easier for you.
A tribute from frequent emailer Neil Collins with a tribute today for Zoe's water heater.
Okay.
For 30 years, you led our team from morning showers to clothes so clean. You took away the stress and pain as you showered us with your indoor rain. Now your work here is done. It's time to say goodbye. But on this Friday, I will remain by your side because finish strong is just a lie. Oh, is it? And he added, not such a great morning, Mark. It's days like today that we realize how insignificant sports are when compared with family issues.
That's why I said we're sitting here talking about Taylor Hall and Tuukka Rask. What does it matter?
He says, my condolences to Scott and the Zolak family, as well as his Sports Hub family, who must also be suffering today.
Yeah. I think about the family down in Rentham that can't run the washer until damn near noon. Think about them today, all right? It just heated and heated until it couldn't heat anymore.
By the way, as soon as we have information on the services, we'll pass it along. I mean, we haven't. It's so raw right now. You know, it just happened. Just happened this morning.
Yeah, people feel like they want to do something, though.
Mm-hmm.
So what can I do? What can I do?
Sad day.
ZoFundMe.
Sad.
Start a ZoFundMe.
Sad, sad day. Paul and Dedham. Paul?
Yeah, hey, I just want to talk about, I don't understand how Cassie is the coach still. I mean, Swayman was ready. Rask wasn't. Swayman had shut out the Islanders before, and Cassie didn't pull the trigger. And I think players like Marchand might look at Cassie different now. And I don't understand how he's a coach still. Just hear you guys' thoughts.
I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think the veterans on this team are questioning the decision to go with Rask. In fact, those veterans are going to identify with Rask. They're going to say,
they've played with him for 10 years.
But just in terms of the coaching decision about him playing, if Brad Marchand or Patrice Bergeron is not at 100% and they say, coach, I'm playing, they want their coach to say, okay. And that's it. That's what they want.
Because they want their coach to say, okay, if it's them who comes to them next.
And it has been them before.
Yes.
And so Bergeron identifies with Rask.
Yes.
Not the kid. He wants Rask. He wants the guy who's the veteran, who's been there with, regardless if it's the right call. I don't think they look at it with the view the outside, you know, people that are not close to it look at it.
Well, and this is the other thing that I laughed at with what that Felger had said. He said, I don't think there's players in that room who don't care. I got to go out there and do my thing. And, you know, whoever they put in net, that's fine. Is Felger's approaching it from, like, I won't say a normal person standpoint, but from a Felger standpoint, And Fegler was like, well, whoever's in on headlines today, I don't care. I got to do my thing. So I'll just do my thing and hopefully they do theirs. I think it's different when you're talking about a guy that you've played hockey with for 8 or 10 years and you might be a little bit more of a normal human person walking around that has attachments to other normal human persons, and you have, whether it's an affinity or a trust or a confidence in that guy, yes, I believe the guys in the room actually do care who's playing. This is going to be the most controversial of statements here. I believe that the players on the Bruins do care who's playing goal for them, and they did want Rask in there. But if it was the wrong call, that's where the coaches have to step in. That's where the coach or the GM has to say, look, I hear what you guys are saying, and we would never force any of you great players out of a game that we thought you could play in, but we don't think he can go. We think it's going to hurt our chances of winning. It's not that we think he sucks or that we wish for this. This is not a way of getting him out the door. But if it was that obvious, that's when you have to step in as the boss and say it's not going to happen, no matter how much you guys want it or believe in him or trust in him or anything else. It's not personal at this point. It's about putting more goals on the board than we allow. And they either didn't feel that way, they didn't feel that the injury or anything else Tuukka was dealing with was going to be that detrimental, or they didn't want to take that one on. They didn't want to have that confrontation with the players in the room.
That's why I think there's the easy element of it. There was no... You avoid any sort of confrontation with anybody, with your veteran goalie, with other veterans on the roster. If he goes out and he doesn't play well and you lose, you will likely be able to look at the rest of the team and know that they didn't perform. That happened. And after the fact, the goalie says, I was hurt. I was playing hurt and I tried to do my best. And there's plenty of people that'll be sort of reluctant to go after that player or after anybody for letting him play. You're one of them.
You think people...
Yeah, they've got you.
Okay.
That's why it's easy, because of people like you, Hardy.
Am I in the majority?
I don't know. Probably not.
You know I'm not.
Probably not.
If they started Swayman and he won, great. If he lost, he wasn't ready, but what are you going to do? It's it. It's done. It's clean. That would have been the easier option for them. That would have been the easier way out.
Let's transition, and as we continue all day long with Bruins thoughts on breakup day, fallout, all of that, we'll continue with your calls on that all day long on this Finish Strong Friday, which, of course, is brought to you by our excellent friends at 128 Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electric. Funny that Finish Strong Friday is presented by a company that really could probably help out Zoe today. I hope he called them. Celebrating 29 years of finishing every job strong, they're growing and they're hiring licensed plumbers and HVAC technicians who could finish every job strong. Apply now at call128.com. Don't end up like Zoe. Call 128 and get that water heater of yours that's a few years beyond its life. Get it replaced. Call these guys. Call128.com. We've got McCone with us today. He has some thoughts on the Celtics. He's obviously been right about something all along, and I asked him this morning if he had taken his victory lap yet. He had not. I don't think he's been on since the big Kemba news broke. We'll talk to Tim McCone about that coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
What's up? Putting you in the middle of the story.
It's gotta be the closest thing to Woodstock.
In the middle of the day.
It's like an acidic trip.
There's always a little bit of heaven in disaster area.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, the Danny Ainge-led front office has been looking at possibilities of trading Kemba dating back to the end of last season's bubble experience. From what I'm told, the Ainge front office saw kind of the writing on the wall in a way with Kemba Walker when it came to this knee. Remember, the knee injury, which occurred, I believe, in late January of 2020, you know, was still lingering in the bubble. This is after months and months of being off. And I think the Celtics front office was looking for a way to get out from under that contract. They ultimately were not able to do it despite having conversations with multiple teams over the last several months. I was told they discussed a deal involving Kemba Walker and LaMarcus Aldridge when Aldridge was still in San Antonio, primarily because Aldridge was on the last year of his contract, whereas Kemba Walker has 2 years currently and about $76 million remaining on this contract. That frustrated Kemba Walker.
Tim McCone, huge UConn fan, loves the Huskies. Loves Kemba Walker, UConn Husky.
Correct?
Yes.
Loves that version of Kemba. The Boston Celtics NBA version of Kemba, no one that I can recall here at the Sports Hub was more against that signing than Tim McCone.
Hated it.
Pretty sure he was at the forefront of the, this is stupid, they will regret this. And you've been adamant about that from day one. And they obviously do regret it, and here they are. And now we have all the, you know, breakup news of they both want to be done with each other. Kemba wants out. Celtics want to move him. They've already tried to move him. Apparently tried to move him for LaMarcus Aldridge at the trade deadline. They want to be done with Kemba, and he wants out because of that. So, Tim McCone, go ahead. I think you should take your victory lap.
This was just a disaster from the beginning. And, you know, you go back to all those signings that Ainge had. It felt like early on, whether it was Horford, Gordon Hayward, trading for Kyrie, there was a clear plan in place. This, not to go back to my girlfriend analogy, Hardy, this was a clear...
You weren't here for this.
No, I wasn't. I was out that day.
This was a clear rebound relationship. You were jumping into something that was not... It was not made for you from the start.
Is there a pool involved in this one?
No, there's no pool or pool boy in this thing. But no, I just... It was clear that they just... They were moving on from Kyrie because of the attitude issues. They wanted someone to come in that had a great reputation across the rest of the NBA. Kemba checked that box. He was an all-star point guard, so he fills the hole. But yeah, this was clear from the beginning. This was not going to work out.
Okay. They had to fill the position, though. Kyrie was gone, and Kemba Walker was a guy. Okay, he hadn't won, right? But he hadn't been on a team where he really could win. That was a big knock against him. The money is always a thing. I thought it was a lot of money to sign him to. But the type of player that he was and his attitude, personality, everything about him, even some of the stuff they did, even some of the smaller things like saying, like, coming in and, you know, I want to be a part of this team. And even though he's expected to be a leader, he understood the role that he was going to be playing alongside Tatum and Brown. So when you say from the beginning, I don't agree with you. From the beginning, I had the bar lowered a little bit because I knew he just didn't have the talent that Kyrie did, but he seemed to have everything else in terms of being like an actual person and a player that was going to show up and play when he could. I didn't smell disaster from the beginning. I liked the guy. I liked the signing.
He's an awesome guy. You don't need to pay max money for a guy that's going to be great in the locker room.
But
that's
wouldn't you feel differently about this had he been healthy? Would the Celtics feel differently about this if he were healthy the entire time he was here?
I don't think they'd
feel that his contract was weighing them down to the degree it obviously is. His biggest problem is being unavailable.
Right, but the knee issue, we knew that he had knee issues in Charlotte.
Pre-existing.
So the fact that you went out and got rid of Isaiah Thomas because he had the hip issue, because you don't want an undersized point guard that's going to lack explosion, and then go, and a couple years later, go, you know what we need? We need an undersized point guard with a knee injury and pay him max money. It was a disaster.
Yeah, this one's going to go down as one of the bad ones. It's not good. There's that, and then also the coaching search for the Celtics continues. I have a question about this coaching search. Why does it require so many interviews and so many names on the list? Should the Celtics be spending as much time figuring out who the next coach is as they already have?
It's a great question.
Why are there so many guys? Why are there so many candidates for this? They have to invest time into all of these different names on this list. It's an ever-growing list.
Now, is this their list? Or is this...
It feels like the reports have been pretty solid coming from guys like Adrian Wojnarowski.
That's a decent source there.
And yeah, you know, ESPN with the other. I mean, there's what, at least 10 names we've heard so far.
Well, just first tweet of the candidates took me 35 minutes to read.
Okay.
Yeah.
You have it? Are you looking at it?
But we don't have time to read it. We'd blow through two commercial breaks. And
I don't get this. I don't get this part of it. Why do you need to interview so many different guys?
How many reasonably candidates would you expect to be able to walk in and take this job over in 2 weeks' time? Three? Are there five guys out there, maybe?
Like, don't you have anybody in mind already before the interview process even begins?
Of course.
Where you say, but you know in what? Addition if, to if that, the interview goes well with this particular person, we know him a little bit. We think he'd make a good coach. Let's see what he says.
But if that falls through, how many more guys reasonably do you think they're thinking about?
Two, three? Like, what are we doing?
Five tops.
And they interview every single assistant to be, you know, basically a good employer and to make everybody feel loved. And out of respect for everybody, they do that. It's a courtesy. The list of guys not employed by the Celtics beyond their assistants is lengthy.
If anything, Beadle, I think it speaks to the difficulty in finding the right head coach in the NBA in 2021. Because it's not about X's and O's. It's not about being able to manage egos. It's about being able to take, I think at times, kind of like a subservient position and realize that if you've got the players, you're going to have to allow a certain amount of self-coaching going on out there.
A certain level of autopilot, if you will. Like, okay, yeah, you guys do your thing.
Yeah. But still be able to maintain a room. I mean, that was one of the things about Brad Stevens. Like, well, which is it? Is it that the players have tuned him out or that the players are the real coaches? You know, you can't have it both ways. You got to find a guy that walks that line. And a personality search is a lot tougher than a
X's and O's worker.
Than a prerequisite. You know, has he done
your resume?
Has he done the job at the college level? Has he been an assistant in the NBA? Did he play? You know, is it, are we talking about a Jason Kidd, Steve Nash type? Or are we talking about a guy with a coaching pedigree and the family tree in the background? You know, I think it goes beyond that now. I think it's maybe more about personality and being able to relate to the players than obviously if you got Steve Nash in Brooklyn right now, who's never coached before, he has no coaching resume, zero, none. Seems to be working out down there. Why is it working out? Well, because they have three of the best players in the league on their team, but he's also letting them play. You got to find that guy who is going to get the respect of the players, have a certain amount of authority over them, but also allow things to happen kind of naturally. And that could make the search that much more difficult.
Before the headlines with McCone, a haiku from Joe.
Oh, 575?
Yep, 575 haiku from Joe on the water heater. Joe in Florida says, water heater dies, no showers for Zoe today, like last 30 years. There's that. There's also this from Blake in Boston. It's a day bigger than sports, a sad day of warm, waterless emotions of all sorts. And although the day will change Zoe's pace of warm indoor water in his face, we must acknowledge the 25-year veteran is in a better place. Also, Nick wanted to know, Nick emailed and said, I know it's too early for any solid info, but do you think with Zolak being a public figure, there will be a service for the public? And then a separate service for family and friends for the water heater. Thoughts and prayers to everyone involved. The outpouring of support means a lot to us today. I just want everyone to know that.
So many photos and so many questions as to, you know, what they can do at this time.
It was a great water heater, guys. It's as simple as that. I keep leaning on that today. You know? How great it really was.
Is that Coors Light hot water heater in that photo a real thing? Is that the one that you got put
seen
in
that
there?
One. I haven't seen that one yet. I haven't looked at that. Coors Light water heater.
I just retweeted it.
Oh, my God.
That's amazing.
Someone actually made that. That's awesome. 617-779-0985. Finish strong Friday. More of your calls on the way and what was going on with the Red Sox last night? We'll get into that this hour as well.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
So,
not a dummy.
Beetle. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's 11:39 here on Zolak and Bertrand. Make sure you get to our website, 98.5thesportshub.com. All the latest on Bruins breakup day. Thoughts from Tuukka Rask. Thoughts from Taylor Hall. Also, check out the latest on Patriots OTAs yesterday with the Patriots OTA notebook from Alex Barth. But most importantly, you can stream us there and make sure you download our app as well. And your streaming is always much appreciated. 617-779-0985. Jeff is in Nashua. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, guys. It's a tough day today. These events, you know, they really do put things in perspective. And I'm both honored and humbled to be paying respect to the Zolax water heater. I told myself I wasn't going to cry today, but unfortunately, Zoe is not finishing strong, understandably. But this is a monumental thing, like the birth of your children or seeing your daughter get married, you know, for the first time. This is the TB12 of hot water heaters coming in and the Bledsoe's going out. It's a bittersweet day in Wrentham. It's a new generation of heated water at the Zolak, so you guys might want to show a little respect to David Zolak and the very personal pain he's enduring. Now, the Bruins, they better get an enforcer and a protector for Charlie McAvoy as if he were Crosby or Gretzky. Otherwise, like the Islanders just did, he's going to get pummeled next year and his career is going to be shortened significantly. Have a great weekend.
It's a great point, Jeff. He has a bullseye on his back now. He's so good, and they're so thin defensively, they're going to go after him all the time. He's going to be the target of every team that plays the Bruins.
Yeah, I think they could afford to definitely shore things up a bit defensively. And he can handle himself, which is all fine and good, but that takes a toll.
It's no indictment of his toughness. He's a tough player.
No.
I'm not talking about that. I'm saying when there's no one else there.
Right.
And you know that if you beat up the team's top defender, that behind him there's not much support.
Yes, beat him up figuratively.
You saw him at the start of the series. He was great. And then as the series went on, he was getting the crap kicked out of him, and he was wearing down, and he was slowing down a little bit.
Well, especially, you know, the schedule of that series where, you know, they didn't have oodles of time off in between games, and he's out there. What were the minutes in one of the overtime games? Was it 29 minutes in game three that I think he played? You know, he's out there more than any other player on the ice from either team. He's just out there so much. And when you only have a day in between, like they did for games five and six, it takes a toll on guy. I don't care how good a shape you're in. I don't care, you know, how well you can handle yourself. For McAvoy, that's tough. And those shifts in the playoffs, they're just different. They feel different watching them. They got to feel different to the players. It's just more intensity. It's just everything is ramped up more, just mentally. It's got to take more of a toll on these guys. And, yeah, he needs someone else out there that is going to take some of that off of him, whether it's just in ice time or in some of the attention that he's getting.
Don in Nashua. Hey, Don.
Hey, guys, I just want to call in and thank Zoe's Pot of Broken Pipes for taking the heat off Rass today. And have a good weekend and go Bees.
All right. The water heater is definitely taking one for the team today.
It can't be easy for him. And
the heat it provided, now it's taking the heat off.
Right. The irony. And I know the water heater didn't want to go out weekly on a finish strong Friday. The facts are facts. And that's when it finally went teats up. On a finished...
Poetic.
You think that water heater wanted to go out this way? Just...
In many ways, it's a circle of life.
Limping to a shallow grave in the woods on the Massachusetts Rhode Island border.
Next to that guy that calls the cops on him for his fireworks.
On a Finnish Strong Friday of all days, you know?
So should call that neighbor. Doesn't he work in the trades? The guy that's pissed at him about his fireworks? He should get him over and have him fix the water.
Not doing that.
Just did it. Ed in Somerville. Ed.
In this most difficult of days, we have to remember that that water tank provided Zoe with so many good memories, and death is an inevitability in life. Anyway, I almost want to get a quick point on Tuukka Rask. I mean, they could theoretically do if they wanted to re-sign him, do the Kucherov and Tampa Bay and stash him on long-term IR. And that way you could use his salary to put them on the teams. Anyway, have a good weekend, guys.
That's a good point. You could cheat just like the Tampa Bay Lightning did. Keep a guy off the roster throughout the regular season. Tack him on at the end. Have him for the playoff run and not have him count. You could do it. It's far more valuable with a forward or a defenseman or someone who's going to actually make a huge impact than it is a goalie. You can only play one goalie at a time. It's like quarterback. You can only play one at a time.
It's like a hot water heater.
It is like a hot water. I mean, you could have more than one if you want.
You could
to.
Have more than one.
A very elaborate setup.
You know, he's got a big house. He told me he was going to go pick up his new water heater and put it in the back of his Tahoe there. Wouldn't you expect him to have like a big, like, what's a big hot water heater be? Like 75 gallons? That's huge, right?
What's the average one? 40 to 50, right?
Yeah.
I don't think there's a big value in having a larger one, though, because then they become very inefficient because you're heating all that water all the time.
Okay.
So I don't think they get much larger.
But the number of people that he has at that house sometimes, you know, what with the future son-in-law and whatnot, it just showers all day long. I just wish there were like somebody you could call that could bring you a new hot water heater and take the old one away in a timely fashion.
There's just not.
There just isn't.
You can't play the what-if game right now, though. It's not healthy.
Yeah, no, but I feel that much worse because I know he's all alone in this. There's no one that's willing to help a guy like Zoe.
No.
You know, like a guy in the trades willing to do him a favor. Say, no, you go to work today. I'll handle the hot water heater. It's actually, we do these every day. I'm going to do three of them today. I can work you in first thing in the morning. You think he would ever make and ask for something like
that?
Not
so. Zoe's been dealt a bad lot in life.
Or be offered up something like that? No. He's on his own on this. I feel like he's camped alone on the South Call, waiting to make that summit push. And just the wind's whipping around his tent. He's just trying to keep warm with a little Sherpa tea. And he just...
Poor guy.
He's all alone up there.
Poor guy.
Oh, why? On a Friday in June.
Are we checking in with the virtual intern today? Is that part of our show today?
We were supposed to do that like hours ago. Whoops.
I didn't know if we were...
Funny things to happen.
I saw that that was in the mix today. I don't know anything about what's happening with the virtual intern.
Jaron.
But there's a check-in today?
Yeah, we can check in with him,
all right,
sure.
Check in, and then also Red Sox last night. I don't know how familiar everyone was with the infield fly rule, but there seemed to be a lot of confusion last night during the Red Sox game. That and where things stand with the Red Sox. A lot of runs in that game last night.
A lot of runs.
What's happening to the spin rate in baseball? It's almost as if they took the foreign substances off the ball and they're able to hit again. We're right back. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Sports in Boston. You talk to these guys.
Just going to say something quick. If you want to get everything, just go see Big Al and Reveal.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Popped up into center. Correa out. And staggers and drops it. Martinez had to wait. Opens into second. And they're going to get the out. On the infield fly, is that what they're calling here? How about that?
I'm going to read from a random spot today on the infield fly issue at Fenway Park last night. It's Pete Grathoff of the Kansas City Star, who wrote a column on it today on what happened last night in the Red Sox game, saying there was a weird game at Fenway Park on Thursday night as the Red Sox defeated the Astros 12-8. In the bottom of the sixth inning, the game was tied at 8, and Boston had runners on first and second base with one out when Rafael Devers popped up to short center. Astros shortstop Carlos Correa drifted back and was under the ball when he dropped it. Baseball savant shows the ball traveled 211 feet when Correa dropped it, but Devers was out on the infield fly rule. You may be saying to yourself, that wasn't even close to the infield, and you're right, but that doesn't matter. Reading directly now from the Major League Baseball rule book, and from any rule book for the sport of baseball, infield fly is a fair fly ball which can be caught by an infielder with ordinary effort when first and second or first, second, and third are occupied with less than two outs. The pitcher, catcher, and any outfielder who stations himself in the infield on the play shall be considered infielders for the purpose of this rule. It is why, Pete Grathall writes, Red Sox manager Alex Cora didn't argue with the umpires and told reporters after the game he thought the rule was properly applied. 100%, he said, he was under control, he got to it, he did an amazing job sprinting back. I was okay with it. I think people are thrown off by the name of the infield fly rule. It's got to be what it is. They think it only applies to
the infield,
the area of the infield.
Right.
And I was just surprised by the outrage and sort of the shock from some people that otherwise talk about baseball regularly last night. I won't call anybody out specifically, but on Twitter, McCona was a little surprised. A little surprised with some
there
of the responses.
Some blowback. Yeah, absolutely.
The 211 feet doesn't matter.
No.
It doesn't matter that it was in the outfield. And here's what's the problem with it, though. And this is the problem that applies to this play every time it happens. It's the umpire's responsibility to make the call while the play is still happening and the ball is still in flight, which can be difficult to do. That's a difficult thing to judge the ball, judge the fielder.
Right.
And be able to, while the ball is still in flight, try and alert everybody on the base paths of what it is that is being called. I mean, sometimes it's completely obvious. Sometimes it's not. Last night, not an obvious one. You get a track the infielder to see where he is and if it would be considered ordinary effort. And last night it was. They got the call right. But it's an odd rule. It's not cut and dry. It's not clearly defined. But it was right. They got it right last night.
What was the blowback? Was it mostly about Cora not challenging the call?
No. There were people that disagreed flat out with the call.
With the call.
Yeah.
Because it was, in their mind, not close enough to the infield, but it doesn't matter. It's about the player. The infielder can line up in the outfield and still have it be called.
Yeah, I mean, it could be on the warning track and it's still going to be called an infield fly. To your point, though, too, isn't this the type of rule that the NFL has tried to eliminate over the few, like over the last few
years?
The
judgment calls.
Judgment calls.
It's
yeah.
The judgment calls and the ambiguity of it. I get it. And the way you read that, ordinary effort, that's how they're judging errors in base hits, right? There's a judge. There's someone that does that. There's a scorekeeper who sits there and scores the game and decides, was that a hit? Was that an error? And then sometimes people disagree and they appeal. And after the game say, no, I want that change to hit. Go take another look. I think there are
just
elements of this game that are judgmental. And that's definitely one of them.
But no one
should take issue with it.
The judgment between an error and a base hit is just for statistical purposes.
Correct.
It doesn't affect base runners. It doesn't affect outs. It
right.
doesn't affect anything other than the stats at the end of the game. So there are, you know, precious few judgment calls left in sports. They're trying to get rid of them because they're ambiguous. Well, that's what what they feel. That's what the umpire felt. That's what it looked like to him. And it's a tough call to make. And it's there's a higher degree of difficulty when you're a base runner in that situation, too. Well, what am I doing?
Here was the best tweet of the night on it. One of the nerds. I'm sure Milliken loves Alex Speer.
Big fan, but I agree. He was really on the other side.
What do you mean?
Didn't he agree that it wasn't an infield fly? Like, wasn't he against it?
I'm not sure if he was, but he had a tweet that supported that it was the right call.
Oh, okay.
That I saw.
I thought at first I saw the opposite reaction for him, which kind of caught me off guard.
Maybe he changed his opinion. Maybe he realized the error of his ways.
There were a bunch of beat reporters on that other side last night, so.
I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe the baseball people that were tweeting about it and didn't agree with the call. I was stunned. I was floored by it. Alex Speer said this, rolling back to the infield fly ruling. He later looked this up. Prior to the misplay of Correa dropping the ball, there had been 69 fly balls of at least 211 feet this year that had been caught by shortstops.
Wow.
It happens far more frequently than you would realize. 69. So the ordinary effort doesn't even, it is, it's ordinary effort, and the guy was camped out under it. Easy one to call. But to go back to that other thing we mentioned quickly, Hardy, about substances on the baseball, and I've started to change my opinion on this. As I told Tyler earlier in the week, this spider tack stuff is a new game.
I'm proud
of you. This is not just, this is not the bullfrog suntan lotion. This is not pine tar. This is not mixing rosin in with all kinds of other substances. Nope. This is a new element to the game that goes beyond any other previous substances on the ball. You see the runs scored and the hits last night across baseball?
Pretty different.
We mentioned that the Red Sox won 12-8. Dodgers won 6-3, Brewers 7-2, Phillies 4-3 over the Braves, 8-3 Tigers over the Mariners, 11-4 over the Rockies were the Marlins. You had 12 runs in the Yankee game, and the Yankees, they had 12 hits last night. Their offense has been stagnant all year. 12 hits and 5 runs for them, 12 hits and 7 runs for the Twins, 10 hits for the Royals. You had double-digit hits for all kinds of teams last night in baseball. That's happened all of a sudden. You didn't have any of those 2-0, 1-0 games last night. It's funny. I don't know. I just think it's obviously one night, cherry-picking one night, very anecdotal evidence, but yeah. It's something.
Against the same team, the Red Sox had scored 4 runs total in the previous 2 games. So, yeah.
I'm talking all of the league, though.
Yeah.
And I think it's been this week. I think this week was everyone was put on warning. That's why all of a sudden pitchers can't pitch anymore. Why all of a sudden they're getting raked. It's getting crushed out there this week. And the runs are up and the hits are up.
Gerrit Cole looked a little more ordinary in his last start. 6 innings, 2 runs. This isn't the guy who was pitching to about a 2 ERA before that. You know, it's just that slight difference from, you know, dominating and it just being overwhelmingly pitchers are far and ahead. Starting to come back to the norm again. Starting to look like old baseball.
I've been coming around on this, too, because, you know, the whole idea of being able to control the ball and not put it in a batter's ear. I'm like, yeah, good.
There's something to that.
Give him a little something to get a little better grip on the ball. But when you see a guy lifting a cinder block with the palm of his hand after he applies spider tack to it, you think, well, maybe there's a little bit more to this stuff.
I was just looking at that.
But maybe this does help him do things other than just have a teeny bit more control of the ball as it's leaving his hands. Maybe you can do things to the baseball that ordinarily you wouldn't be able to do with bullfrog or an extra lotion or Vagisil or anything else that you want to rub on the ball.
You think Gerrit Cole was using that stuff? I didn't pick up on that during his answer.
He's the face of it.
I couldn't tell. I thought maybe he just hadn't even heard of it. He was confused by the question. You didn't know how to respond.
I just
was so unfamiliar with the topic and the
you
product.
Say, I only hear what I want to. It's like Lisa Loeb. It's stay.
Talk slow all the time.
I don't quite know how to answer that, to be honest.
How about words?
Yeah. Why don't you think about it for a moment?
Anything.
How about yes or no?
Yeah.
Ah.
I'll tell you, Hardy, we went from, I'm sorry. We went from a tone of real compassion.
yeah.
and care.
But the
Zoe at this time.
With the hot water heater?
Yeah, but I think it started to turn. I think there's been a turn. Danielle.
They don't suspect foul play, do they?
Danielle says, once he has a good plumber there, that heater is going to be changed out in 20 minutes. Zoe's going to be down the Cape before you guys are off the air today. It's Finnish Fraud Friday.
Oof. Danielle, I don't think today is the day for that.
No, Twitter's such a cesspool, man.
Jesus.
Disgusting, isn't it? Absolutely disgusting.
And my apologies to David Zolak if when I kept repeating that it was a Friday in June on a beautiful day that some people thought took that to mean like he was purposely missing work just because he's taking every other Friday off during the rest of the summer starting next week.
Right.
Like this would just be a bonus extra Friday staying home for a home improvement project that he doesn't have anything to do with. You call a plumber and it's just kind of taken care of for you. That wasn't my intent.
Oh, well, another tweet says word on the street is Hugh Millen will be doing the eulogy at the funeral for the water heater. Service is set for Monday at the Rentham Recycling Center. Bledsoe, Scott Seacules, and Hartley Dykes will be among those in attendance. Headlines here with McCone. We're right back in 90 seconds.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.